It's our Press Box podcast here on MissouriNet.com. The SEC Media Days just wrapped up. Joining us, Phil Kornblut from the South Carolina Radio Network, also a MIZ SEC correspondent for us here at MissouriNet.com. Well, you had your first crack at listening to Elvis Fisher, TJ Moe, EJ Gaines representing the Missouri Tigers. What'd you think of those three?
They all did. All three of them did. I didn't realize that that Moe is a wide receiver. Boy, he's a big wide receiver.
Yeah, he is. He's fast, though, too. He was he was a quarterback in high school. And Missouri drafted him to be a wide receiver, and he was hurt his freshman year. And, you know, he said, you know, once my first move didn't work, he said, you know, I didn't have anything else. And then he really had a bust-out season his sophomore year. And so, yeah, he's the real deal. He's a tough kid. He's got great hands, and he certainly speaks his mind.
Yeah, they're all good talkers. From the time I had a chance to sit in there and listen to them, but I was really impressed with Gaines. I like that kid.
Yeah.
Must be a heck of a player. Must be a heck of a player.
Yeah, he is pretty solid. Hey, what did you think about only two Tigers making third-team SEC from the media?
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to understand, there were 1,100 media credentialed. I'm very conservative with who I identify as media. They got a lot of freeloaders floating around that place. There were only 200 and something people that voted, which was still a record.
They don't know Missouri.
For that event. And they don't know Missouri, yeah. I mean, people are going to vote. By, I was a little surprised to see, I saw one guy from Texas A&M. No, two guys from Texas A&M, I think, made it. Yeah, I'm not surprised at that because nobody knows these guys yet.
Right.
Next year. Yeah, next year you'll get more in there, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What
you gotta come prove yourself. It was just, you know, it's like in the voicer I left for you. It really was funny. You gotta understand the SEC football media. Most of these dweebs, they just live and die with SEC football. And to them, not even the NFL is superior.
Right.
And they can't believe that Texas A&M or Missouri can come into this league and win ball games right off the bat.
That can I quote you as calling them dweebs?
Yeah, quite a number of them are dweebs. I mean, well, these are the guys that when they ask a question of the coach, it's like, Coach, do you think we're going to play a little more 4-3 this year, or are we going to play a little more 3-4? You know,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
And it just fries me up a flipping wall. But, you know, they forget that, you know, these teams have played each other, and they played Oklahoma and Texas Tech, and I mean, they played good football out of the Big 12. It was sort of embarrassing to listen to some of these people ask these guys these kind of condescending questions, like, you know, do you guys know how to, you know, which side you strap up your helmet on, this sort of stuff. Like, they never played the game before.
Well, did you hear TJ Moe? Because he said, you know, it's not like we're in kindergarten and we don't play with football.
Yeah.
I mean, football helmets.
With all the stuff that I said, I certainly don't want to take anything away from these SEC teams because we know they are that good. There's a reason they've won the last six national championships. But, I mean, I don't think, you know, we're five-year-old kids running around without a helmet. We think we can compete.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. These guys were a little bit offended by it, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Wait, who's driving with you?
That's my buddy Mike Morgan, who is Mike is used to work in Columbia. He lives in Atlanta. He's a freelance. Well, he does Braves television. He does Atlanta Braves TV work, and he does college football, basketball, and baseball.
So this is not Mike Morgan. This is not Mike Morgan, the former Dodgers pitcher.
No, I do get that all the time, though. I appreciate you keeping the legend alive. He is. He does. You'll probably see him. He does.
Might do a Missouri game this year.
Yeah, he does games in all the networks through all the conferences. He, wherever the green is, that's where he
is. That's right.
Well,
he follows the money trail.
Hand the phone over to him. I think he's probably more important and interesting to talk to than you, Phil.
Listen, you are more than willing. You're not hurting my feelings if you want to talk to him. I can promise you that.
Here, Phil. Thanks for the time.
I'll just drive and try to keep it between the white lines.
I'm joking. The stuff you provide us is great. So, all right, what do you think about these preseason predictions that come out Missouri 4th? I think that's right down the line what I expected.
Yeah. In fact, I'm trying to think what I did. I had, of course, I had South Carolina 1, Georgia 2, Florida 3. I think I had Tennessee 4 and Missouri 5.
Well, Georgia.
And then I had Vandy and Kentucky.
Yeah. Now, but doesn't Georgia have some suspensions and things that they're trying to work through?
Well, you know, they kicked off their top running back, Isaiah Crowell, but they've got – Georgia's never short on running backs. They lose a big-timer. They got a freshman sensation named Keith Marshall coming in, and he'll probably tear it up as a true freshman.
Samuel's good, too.
Yeah, they got Samuel back. They got a terrific quarterback. They probably got second-best quarterback in the league. And – you know, they have really good receivers. They got one of the best receivers in the league.
Malcolm Mitchell. He's going to be playing half the snaps on defense.
I know. But, I mean, he's still going to play. You're not going to take him off a wide receiver totally.
And now, Phil, you didn't pick South Carolina just because you're a homer, right? I mean, what do you like about South Carolina? Because I agree with you. I actually think South Carolina is a favorite to win that division.
Well, you know, and the argument against it is their schedule. Again, this year, Georgia gets the break in the schedule because South Carolina's got to play LSU, Arkansas, and Georgia gets to play Ole Miss. And that's basically the difference. They get a little bit of a greater break in the schedule. But they get Georgia at home. And, I mean, I think South Carolina's going to be really good anyway. And I think they're going to run the East. I think their only league loss is going to be to LSU. I don't see them losing to Tennessee. I don't see them losing to Florida, even though they do have to go to the Swamp. I see them beating Georgia. I don't think they'll lose to Kentucky or Vanderbilt. LSU, yes. And then Arkansas, they get them at home. And Missouri, they get them at home. So, you know, I can see Carolina going 6-1 in the league. And that would give them the tiebreaker over Georgia. Of course, they would love for Georgia to lose twice, and that way they have a little bit of a wiggle room. That's what they needed last year. You know, they beat Georgia. All right, and what cost them the division, of course, was that they laid an egg against Auburn at home. And they don't lose that game. They win their division. But even still, if Georgia hadn't run the table the rest of the way, they would have won the division. But who could count on Georgia finding themselves and running the table last year after losing to South Carolina in the first league game.
Right, exactly.
So I like South Carolina's team. I mean, Lattimore, best running back in the league, arguably. Connor Shaw's a very effective quarterback. I think they'll recover from losing Alshon Jeffrey because they do have fast, good receivers and a good tight end core. They're going to be a good running team because I think their offensive line is going to be a strength. And defensively, I think they're going to be among the top two or three units overall in the SEC. I think their big question, the big question mark in my mind, is kicking. Who's going to punt, and how good is the place kicking going to be? Those are unknowns going into the season.
And that can play a big part. Hey, how important is it for Missouri, obviously to win that first SEC game with Georgia coming here to Columbia, but I mean, how important is it for them to at least keep that game close? I mean, what happens to their psyche if say, Georgia comes in here and blows out the Tigers?
Well, I mean, you know, if they get blown out, it's certainly going to be one of those welcome to the SEC moments. But I just don't see that happening. I think that, I think Missouri's a pretty good team. I haven't studied them all that closely, but got a quarterback. You're going to have this freshman receiver coming in who's going to be a sack of hell. he's going to be great. Freshmen can do it. Freshmen can play. We see that now. You don't just because you're a freshman, that's not a handicap. And this guy is a big time talent. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Missouri beats Georgia or at least gives them everything they want going into the fourth quarter.
All right, that'll be good.
And
to
you
hear.
Got an excellent coach. You got an excellent coach from all accounts. I mean, I look at Missouri and Texas A&M with a lot of respect because I've been to Texas A&M before for a game there, and it's big-time football. And that's some of these people just don't understand, you know, exactly like at Texas A&M how big it is. I know Missouri, the stadium's not quite as big and probably not quite as impressive looking from what I've seen on television, but you know, Missouri's still a big-time athletic department that has the whole state rooting for it. I mean, you're a one-state school when it comes to the big-time sports.
Right.
And that's the key. It's like Arkansas. Like, everybody in the state of Arkansas is behind the Razorbacks. I'm sure most everybody in Missouri, maybe some on the border, might be Kansas fans. Who knows? I imagine most everybody in Missouri are big Tiger fans.
Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, as big as we've got to get these fans behind this movement to the SEC. So I mean, I think starting off and at least competing with Georgia, and boy, if you can pull off their first win, I think they build a lot of momentum for us here and at least get behind this program. The thing that I don't want to see is I don't want to see this team stumble a couple of games, whether it be an SEC player or Big 12. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, you could stumble coming out of the gates, and then you've got the fans saying, ah, this was a dumb idea, we shouldn't have done this, and then they're off the bandwagon.
I think we should get the mayors, when Carolina and Missouri meet, I think we should get the mayors of the two cities to have a bet, and the losing team has to change the name of its city to
to Columbia.
To change it from Columbia to, I don't know, what could you call it? Spell it backwards. E-M-Lock-a become. Or whatever. E-M-Lock-a-M-Come.
But that's how. See, but now that's how most. But that's how most of you people in South Carolina sound like to us anyway. Like you're talking backwards with that big
that's
accent.
That's right. Are you going to come in for the game?
Yeah, I'd like to try to make it. Yeah.
Good.
I got to try. You know, you got to try to twist some boss's arms and stuff. But I'll just crash at your place. I'll crash at your place.
You're more than welcome to.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you know what? And then I'll turn around and. I'll reciprocate to you then. You can come spend the night at my place, and that'll cut down on travel
absolutely.
Costs. The boss is left to buy
that one. You absolutely have a place to stay.
All right, Phil, that sounds outstanding. Listen, safe travels. Thanks for your time, and we will catch up with you as obviously we get closer to kickoff. Phil Kornblut from the South Carolina Radio Network and our MIZ SEC correspondent for us deep in the heartland of SEC country. Thanks, Phil.